Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads, where I will try not to cough. Man, when I get sick, it really fucks me up. So I'll be drinking a lot of water. So there'll be little pauses here and there. But what we're going to go over today is the books for week beginning 12/28 through January 3rd, 2016, into the new year. And this one had a lot of good reads, and I read a lot. So before I kick that off, I'm going to talk about some recent purchases. These are also coming from my comic shop because I'm getting that 50% off discount. And I'm pretty much getting to grade them, so that's pretty good. So got Green Lantern number 15. This is one of the early appearances of Sinestro. Really cool cover. The next one is Green Lantern number 20. This is a beautiful cover. It's like fine to very fine from what I can tell. It's number 20 with the Flash. And Flash is putting his hand into the lantern, and he has to charge the lantern because he says if he doesn't charge it, that Hal will fade away. Number 26 is a early Star Sapphire issue. She says that she's discovered Hal's identity on the cover, and he has to live up and promise to marry her. So that's an interesting cover. We got number 29, which is the first appearance of Black Hand, which is really cool. We got number 38, which features Tomar Rae and Goldface, another villain that's a Green Lantern villain. We have number 45, which has I think it's the second Silver Age appearance of Alan Scott. I got number 47, which has Dr. Polaris on the cover. Number 62, which features him throwing away his ring and saying, if I have my ring, it'll kill me, so I'd rather choose life. And then we have number 64, which doesn't have Hector Hammond on the cover, but it's a Hector Hammond issue. And we have number 73, where it's featuring a woman on the cover, and he's looking at her and saying, you're supposed to be dead. So for those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, I have had a goal of completing comics, DC Comics, since 1973. But because of this heavily discounted stuff, and I'm getting really nostalgic into the older Silver Age issues, I'm still got that goal, but I'm going more into the Silver Age than I thought I would. So that's where these Green Lanterns are coming from. It's just because opportunity knocks and I'm getting very good discounts. And you'll see that I got some other key issues in the next upcoming episodes. Also wanted to say that I saw the new Suicide Squad trailer and I thought it looked amazing. I kept telling myself, Mike, don't get spoiled. I'm going to stay away from previews, movie previews, unless I see it at the theater, just to not get spoiled. I'd rather be surprised. But when this preview came out, I couldn't resist it, and it looks awesome. And it's going to be awesome for me just to see Deadshot with his wrist guns. I mean, this is all they have to show, and I'm already giving the movie a fucking A. Just going, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you see the shells fucking flying off the guns. I fucking love Deadshot so much. The movie could suck, and just that one scene is going to bring tears to my eyes. So I think it's going to be fucking awesome. So having said that, also they released today what the statues are going to look like. The latest previews had statues for Harlequin from the movie, Deadshot from the movie, and Killer Croc from the movie, but they didn't show images. They said images will come later. So I didn't order any of them, But they released the Harlequin image today, and it looks so damn awesome. And it would fit really good into my CoverGirl display. I have a lot of Harlequin statues as it is, half body and full body, you know, the mini bust and the body. So this was going to be an awesome addition to that, to have the movie one as well. So having said that, let's jump into the books. So this was a holiday week. I had read a lot, and I had a really good distribution of books. And there were a lot of 5 out of 5s. I must have been in a fucking good mood. So we had 6 Zenoscope, 4 Titan Comics, 7 Marvel, 3 Image, 5 IDW, 1 Gold Key, 2 Dynamite, 20 DC, 1 Boom, 1 Bongo, 1 American Gothic Press, and 1 Aftershock, for a total of 52 comics. And here's how it broke up. So for the 3 out of 5s, I read a lot of books that were Marvel that I thought were okay. We had Grim Fairy Tales Presents Hellsing 2 through 4. This series has been good, but not great. I like the Goddess ones a lot better. But it was good, and I enjoyed it, but it's at the bottom. That wrapped up that first mini, and there's another one called Van Helsing that's coming up. The next one is Simpsons One-Shot Wonders Grandpa number 1. This was a fun issue, and the reason I really got it is because Andrew Peepoy was inking it. For those of you that know me, I'm a sucker for Andrew Peepoy commissions. So if he's doing art on a cover or actually doing interior art, I buy it. If he's doing inks, sometimes I buy it, but because this is one shot and it had his inks, I got it. And it was a fun read. It was very unusual because you could read it in so many different ways. It reads like a choose your own adventure. So it's Grandpa telling stories to Bart and Lisa. And depending on your choices, you turn to different pages to finish the story. So it's a very unique, I've never read a comic book like this. I'm sure there have been some like this. There were, when I was a kid, the Choose Your Own Adventure series books that I would do it. And then there were the computer games where you kind of choose your own adventure. I remember in the Commodore 64, there was a Marvel one, and I think it was called Quest Probe. And then one of them featured the Hulk, and one of them featured Spider-Man. And they were kind of like that, if I remember correctly. But this was a very cool take on that. The next one coming up was Invincible Iron Man number 4. This is weird, because 1 through 3 were exceptionally good, and this one just was kind of like a bland issue that didn't really fill in a lot of holes. And it just felt like one of those issues between-ish, you know, good stories, but it was still entertaining, and I enjoy it, and I enjoy the art, but it was on the lower end of the spectrum. The next one is Black Knight number 2. This is Black Knight in Weird World. We talked about that last time. Interesting concept. It was slightly better than the first one, as they fleshed out the world a little bit more and why he's there. And they have the Uncanny Avengers and Black Knight's group fighting. Then we have All New Wolverine number 2. When I read this, this is a Tom Taylor book. And I usually give his books 5 out of 5 or 4 out of 5. And this one is about a lot of clones. And I've read better X-23 books before, whether it be NYX or X-23, the book itself, or her adventures in New Mutants books, or can't remember what they called them specifically, where she was a member of. She was also in the X-Force, where I really liked her, where it was underground X-Force. This one, they've kind of lightened it up. They've put clones that she's going. I hear it's a lot like Orphan Black, but I haven't seen that. But the writing's solid. It's just that the direction of the character and the story is not hitting me yet. But it's Tom Taylor, and I have faith in him. So I know it'll get better. Then we had Venom Space Knight number 2. This series is getting better. I think the art is really Acuna art. No, this isn't Acuna. Damn it. I can't remember who. I have to look it up. It looks like Acuna art. But Venom. It's the guy who did Space Ghost. Ariel Olivetti. I knew it. He's got a beautiful art style. The story is by Robbie Thompson. It's kind of Venom in space going world for... He's kind of like a Green Lantern Corps member where he's actually helping people out and helping alien races. And he helps an alien race on this particular world. Then the next is Silk 5-7. This wrapped up her series before it was relaunched in Secret Wars. And it was entertaining. But it wasn't quite good enough to get it into that 4 out of 5. So that wraps up the 3 out of 5s. We had Grim Fairy Tales, Helsing, Simpsons, Grandpa, Invincible Iron Man, Black Knight, All New Wolverine, and a Space Knight, Silk. 3 issues of Silk. Now we jump into the 4 out of 5s. Starting at the bottom, we had Trinity of Sin. This is an ongoing, it didn't last but 6 issues, featuring Phantom Stranger, Pandora, and Good Question. And they're kind of like in a hellish world with demons and stuff, and they're working together to find their ways out of it. Really well written. J.M. DeMatteis wrote a hell of a Spectre, and he wrote a lot of the other books. Ray Fox wrote a lot of them, but he's continuing it. The Spectre's still spot on. I preferred his solo issue. It's one of my favorite books ever. So this was a 4 out of 5. I'll always be biased towards the Phantom Stranger. I really dig him. The next one was a Victor Gershler B-film. He's really good at doing, like, cheesy B-film movies in comic book format. This is Sally of the Wasteland from Titan Comics. And, really good art, and it's a post-apocalyptic world where you have, like, a Harlequin character in the future, but she's, like, working at a bar, and she's all in love with her boyfriend, but her boyfriend tends to not notice her, and some woman comes in saying, we need to sink Sanctuary, there's going to be another place. Like, they kind of live in this post-apocalyptic world, barely surviving, and this woman comes up saying, there's a Sanctuary. And I need you to get me there, and I'm willing to pay you. I need to pay for a boat. And they actually take their trip to the sanctuary, which doesn't turn out to be a sanctuary. But it's really cool. If you like B-films, Logan's Run, you know, stuff like that, I think you really dig it. If you dig the Harlequin character, I think you'll dig Sally of the Wasteland. It's like putting Harley Quinn in a post-apocalyptic world, except she's a little more tame. It's not as outrageous as she normally is. Then we get to Grim Fairy Tales Presents Goddess, number 3 out of 5, where Venus is focused on here. And she's trying to gather all the gods. This is my favorite Zenoscope book, the ones that deal with Greek gods. I've already talked about it in the past. We talked about the Hercules Pain series, and this is the next one. And there was a one-shot. So, this is me wrapping up another Goddess series. Can't wait for the next one. Then we get Catwoman 47. This is the brand-new Catwoman written by Frank Thierry. And this gets us back into more traditional Catwoman. I really liked it, but I thought it was a step back from Valentine look at her name. I'm getting it for drawing a blank. So I'm going to go to my comic book database and type in Catwoman. This is the 4th volume. And I'm going to find out who... It's Anna Senti and Guinevere Valentine. Matter of fact, she's going to be doing a book, I think, for Titan or Dynamite. Can't remember which one it is. And I loved Valentine so much that her words flowed with me again as a writer. And I'll talk about that later. But the Frank Tierra went back to basics. A lot of people will probably like it if it goes back to basics. But I kind of liked the different approach in the earlier issues. We'll see how the next one pans out as 48 comes out. It's already out. Next one is from Dynamite. It's Red Sonja 11 through 12. This wraps up the Gail Simone story arc where she was gathering all the artisans and bringing them to a dying Egyptian king, pharaoh type thing. And if she brings the artisans back, he will free the slaves. At least that's what he told her. But he changes his mind on that, and this ends up in a bloody bloodbath. But it's a very cool comic book. I really enjoyed this series from Dynamite Entertainment. It was Red Sonja. Then I read The Goddamned. Yeah, it was an Image book from Jason Aaron and the same artist that helped him do Scalped. He's drawing a blank on his name, which I could look it up easy. Goddamned. There's The Goddamn It Baby. This is a soul. That's actually a comic book. The Goddamned is by R.M. Guara. So Jason Aaron is, God, he's on the top of his game. He's always been really good. But everything he's writing right now, Star Wars, Thor, The Goddamn, Southern Bastards, everything that he's writing is gold. I mean, it's really good. And this was, it's like a biblical take on the sons, Cain and Abel, that come from Adam and Eve, and because they destroyed the garden, it really became like this post-apocalyptic shithole. So this is a really interesting take on this, and enjoyed it. It's beautiful to look at. The next one I enjoyed is Limbo, and I can't explain why I liked it. This is an Image comic. It almost seemed like a place like purgatory where you can't die. But it's like a detective with no memory, no identity, and no manners. And he's trying to solve it's like a crime noir book at the same time. He lives with the voodoo queen that likes mixed tapes and hip-hop music and stuff like that. And it's so bizarre and so weird. And it's described as crossing 50s pulp with 80s VHS visual aesthetic drawing with the likes of Carpenter, Cronenberg, and Lynch, you know, as far as directors or movie creators. And I'd agree with that. It's really good. It's by Dan Waters and art by Casper Wingard. And really enjoyed it. Gotta let Harley out. She wants to go out. So, that's Limbo. I can't explain why I love it so much, but it was fun and unique. The next one is another crime noir. It's Monster World. And this one has like a movie theater where somebody's wife goes to detective, gumshoe detective, to try to solve where her missing husband is. He owned this theater. Sounds like a lot like that movie, like Hail Caesar. No, that's coming out with George Clooney. But it's in the world of monsters. And this is a producer goes missing and they have to solve the crime. And really well done from American Gothic Press. And that one is by, let's see. Monster World. And there's another book called that by Wildstorm, by the way. And there's one by Mayfair and Warren. This is the American Gothic Press. And this is Steve Niles and Philip Kim on writing. And Poltor Kalawaski on art. And I really do like Steve Niles' books. They tend to be really quick reads. So I think this one's a little more dense, so it's a little bit of Philip Kim adding a little more writing to the dialogue to the book. Steve Niles is usually straight to the point. They read really fast, and they're always good. But I think Philip Kim added a lot to this book, especially being that it's a crime noir, and there is a lot of talking in that kind of genre. So, highly enjoyable. And then that takes us out of the 4 out of 5s when we get to the 5 out of 5s. This one is a prequel to Straight Jacket from IDW. I didn't know about this book until my co-host told me about it. It's called The Veil, number 1 through 4. And this is in the horror genre by none other than El Torres, one of our favorites from Geek Brunch. And the artist is Gabriel Hernandez. And Chris Luna is actually referred to by the psychiatrist. He actually classified a disorder based on mass hysteria, based on this book from Chris Luna. And it is kind of like a mass hysteria horror book that happens in Boston, where she has to go back because her aunt died and claim her house because there's a lot of interested parties, and that's what her goal is. Whereas she's a person that could see dead people. And this turns out that she could tell if people were murdered. She finds out her aunt was murdered, and then things just go haywire. There's like a preacher there, and he's got a huge following, and they're like possessed by a demon that's trying to break into this world. And you could see the ties that are kind of in there from Straitjacket, which is an Amigo comic book, because El Torres kind of does his own publishing now. But that's The Veil, a really, really, really good comic from IDW. There's also a trade for it if you're interested. Then we get into a beautiful book. I covered this in Valiant Verses. I'm curious if any of you listened to it, but I used to release Valiant Verses on the Valiant podcast, but then I wanted to control the release schedule of it because it's just me. And the idea of Valiant Verses is I usually cover a book like Shadow Man, and I cover all the volumes of it. So I'll go Shadow Man, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, Volume 4. And at the end, I tell you which one I like the most. That one might shock you because I like the Acclaim Volume 4 the best. but you can seek out old episodes of that on Valiant Podcast and the new ones on the Geek Brunch. And I'm curious to see what you guys think of it. But this one is Magnus Robot Fighter from 1963, Gold Key. And absolutely loved it. Totally holds up today. The only thing that probably wouldn't is his tunic, his costume. All the other costumes of the characters around him, they seem very futuristic in a Logan's Run type fashion. God, it was a good book. This is his origin stories and his first adventure going against, evil robots and North Am, really good book. Another IDW book at a 5 out of 5 is Star Trek Starfleet Academy. This is by Michael Johnson, and I was surprised how I really dug this book. It was it's two good, it's two stories that are linking together. And the only reason I know they're linking together is because I already read the second issue, but. One takes place with Kirk and Uhura and Spock and Chekhov and all the characters that we love. And Uhura's investigating this weird distress call that it seems their people are trying to hide. And she wants to discover what's going on with it. She needs Kirk's help. And then the other one deals with a team of aliens. Vulcan, a lot of the other types of aliens, somebody from Earth, blah, 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 that all have special abilities that are going up into a competition for the various alien races and such. different competitions that they have to try to win. And I can't tell you what's happening, but the characters are really likable. They're really well defined, and I enjoyed them as much as I do the regular Star Trek crew. I thought, and it's usually hard to get you to like new characters, and they did it in one issue. So I thought it was very effective. And then I got to Catwoman 31 through 40, Annual 2, and 44 through 46. This was the Innocenti run, which was a really cool thing where it was a race of thieves. It was kind of like Death Race 2000, except with thieves. Like, you have to race to get the prize. And there's a lot of plot twists in there that made it really, really enjoyable. Featured the Mirror Master and some other, you know, B-list villains. C or D-list villains. Mirror Master, I would say, is B-list. But really enjoyable book. Exciting. Totally adrenaline rush. Like, you want to keep finding out what's going on. And Innocenti developed this character that's kind of like her Alfred. And I absolutely grew to love her. Her name is Tesla. And, man, I wanted more Tesla, but the next arc barely touches on Tesla. But Guinevere Valentine did, she came out of the Batman Eternal arc, which kind of left her as the inheritor of a crime lord, which was a big part of the Batman Eternal arc. And this was a really, really, really good series. I absolutely loved every issue. It felt like an episode of Sopranos. And the characterizations were spot on. So I absolutely loved it. The next one deals with Venus. It's a sci-fi adventure from Boom Studios where people are just going in America and all over the world. It's a race to the stars, and different places like Russia and all this stuff are claiming things in space. Like, I think Russia or somebody else claimed Mars already. So America teamed with corporations and NASA and everything to launch a expedition to Venus. And they had already shot up into space an environment, so when they arrived, if they got there, they could survive, because the environment in Venus is a lot more hostile. So they have to have really specially made suits and everything. And everything goes to pot. I mean, it turns out everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And they lose their captain. And they have to, the lady that takes over is awesome. She takes leadership. She makes hard calls that the crew doesn't agree with, but she does all the right calls to save lives or to maximize her team's survival rate. Very high adrenaline. It reads like a movie. I got so into it, I was man, I want to see this shit. It's you're at the theater and you want to keep watching, but you have to wait till next month to finish the movie. So that was Venus. Next one is Bloodshot Reborn. This Jeff Lemire's done a fantastic job. It started off weird for me. I rated them 4 out of 5s initially, I think. And then as we dealt closer into, and I saw the buildup of the story arc, I became more and more attached to what was going on. And it's pretty much Bloodshot going back to get his nanites, because the nanites have been released by a geomancer in the Valiant, and he's got to try to reclaim them. And when the nanites get into other people, they lose control. They don't have the training or ability to control the nanites like him, so they go on these bloodthirsty rage and kill people. And I absolutely love it. And there's another female character, Magic, that they introduce that I really, really enjoy. Really good ending to this arc. And, you know, I'm looking forward to a lot more. Plus, I love I think it's the FBI agent that they introduced, the female one that has special abilities, you know, to determine who did what. I really enjoyed her character. Next one is Super Zero. It's a Palmiotti and Amanda Conner book. Fascinating concept. It's about a girl that is down on her luck because she can't pass high school. But she's really smart, and she wants to become a superhero, and she's doing things that think spawn a superhero. Like, she wants to cause her parents to get kidnapped, so she hires a bomb, and it's just so unique and so well written. I absolutely loved it. That was from Aftershock Comics. The art is really good. I think you guys will enjoy it. And then one of my favorite Image comics for 2015 is Tokyo Ghost. This by Rick Remender and Sean Murphy is, it's a perfect book in my eyes. That there's nothing that they can do wrong. And this gives even more backstory on the people that made the main male character the way he is, which is hooked up to technology. And they attack him and the main female in this, like, paradise. It's absolutely amazing book. So damn good. I love it. And then we get Justice League 3001, another book. Oh, my God. 3001 kicked it up. 3000 was good. 3001 kicked it up another fucking level. Like, became such a really good book by Matthias and Keith Giffen. And last issue, we had the death of a major character. And you could see kind of where they're going with the characters that are left. And then you have a Supergirl from another time in here. So if you're missing superhero, you know, Supergirl in comics, this is the book that you need to go to. And they have a descendant of Batman, which is a little girl. It's absolutely fascinating and highly likely likable, at least that I like her a lot. And you have, this book is like an ultimate sacrifice. Such a good fucking read. I can't, you know, talk about it enough. And then 5 out of 5s at the top of the I am absolutely loving Dark Knight 3, The Master Race. I read number 1 again for a second time, and I read number 2 times because I fucking loved it. And when I read number 1 again, I had the collected edition, and it read so much better. Like, it was, I already loved the regular page, but the collected edition is like a $9 book, I think. But it's a hardcover. And seeing the panels, like, extra big, and oh my God. And I love the order that they told the story in, because now I'm going to read it differently. In the regular comic, you have the mini insert. And what I did the first time is I read the comic, and then I read the mini insert, and then I read the rest of it. But now I'm going to read it like the hardcover, where I read the story and then the mini insert, because that's how it's presented in the hardcover. And, God damn, that's an awesome book. Carrie Kelly, who was Robin in Dark Knight, who was Catgirl in Dark Knight 2, and who is I don't want to even spoil it, but she's another character in number 3. And, oh my God, it is so intense. And, you have, like, 2 plot lines. One is her going after some cops because they were beating innocents. And the media is eating her up for going after the cops and stuff like that. And then she gets captured. Oh, my God, it's good. And then you got a plot line with Wonder Woman and her daughter, Superman and Wonder Woman's daughter, who is doing the Candor thing, and she's trying to help release the people of Kandor, and the Atom is helping them. And if you read Dark Knight 2, you know that the Atom was a huge part of the series, and Superman's daughter was in there, and there's other things that was in there, the Wonder Woman and Superman relationship. It was really key to reading that to really get the full effect of this. But this is an amazing continuation. I hear that Azzarello's doing the job. The art is fucking mind-blowing. Mind-blowingly good. I could stare and look at it for days. But I absolutely love this fucking book. And it was a page turn. I can't wait for the next. This is, I don't usually read like, I read what I'm in the mood for. Those that listen to me, you say, like, why is he reading the old shit? It's because I'm in the mood for it, you know? And I don't usually go grab the newest issues and say, oh, I got to read this. But when this book comes out, it's top of the stack for me. Like, I absolutely love it. And I tell you right now, I'm going to read each issue twice. And I never do that. Very seldom do I do that. And I can't wait to have the hardcovers of the second one because it hasn't released yet. But I can't wait to have all those little hardcovers. And then I'm sure they're going to come up with a deluxe edition. I'm going to buy that too and then read it all in one sitting again. It's just amazing. I really don't think this could go south. I really don't. It's just so tight and so well written that it's man, it's amazing fucking book. I know friends of mine don't feel the same way. And it doesn't sadden me that they don't feel the same way. But I don't really care. Because why should I care what other people think? I care about what I enjoy. And I had just read for a second time, Dark Knight Strikes Again, Dark Knight 2. And I think that is just made this book that much more special, even though I think Dark Knight 2 Volume 3 really went south. But book 1 and 2 really formed a foundation for this. So that's it. So we had 52 books. Lucky like a DC week. DC had the top 2 books. How about that? So a really good distribution of books this week. And then I had some really down weeks, mostly because I was really sick and mostly because I was working my ass off. I still am, but and I'm not getting to read nearly as much, which makes me a grumpy man, but it is what it is. So let me know what you like and what you don't like. And send feedback. Let me know you're listening to the episode. So to support the show, I really like iTunes reviews. I don't even know how many people use iTunes reviews these days, but it's cool to see more iTunes reviews, and I've had a couple based on this show and Geek Brunch lately show up. And that's one way to leave a review. The other is just to share, when I post the Mike M's Weekly Reads, you can support the show just by sharing the link and letting your friends see that you, like, listen to the show. And maybe somebody else will find it and like it. You could also send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com, or you could go to the Facebook page under Geek Brunch Podcast and comment on the thread there, or go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com and you can leave a message there. So there's lots of way to get a hold of me. Let me know how you feel about certain things. And it's always a good time to read comics. I don't know about you guys, but they are my favorite medium and I like to talk about them. And I get excited about comics. I just am, whether they be new or old or anything. And I'm even excited that the Gold Key characters are coming back to Dynamite. I'm always a fan of those, and I did enjoy what they did do. I think it read a lot better when I read them in bulk, you know. So that's another wrap, and I hope you guys have a good day, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.